what system are we talking about? The academic system, the monetary system, our government system? Are we talking about culture? Are we talking about media and information communication? And it's the intersection of all those. Of course, everything that supports that system gets more power within the system, and everything that would possibly threaten the core relevancy or validity of the system gets kind of spit out by the system. And so I think that's a very strong normative force. I think that the thing that I'm talking about also requires something like understanding source code at a different level.
Sure.
Not source code of physics, but source code of things related to psychology and evolution and the nature of tool making and the nature of collective sense making and choice making type dynamics. What matters is you having access to the shopping cart doesn't decrease my access. And we start to see a potential for this if we think about something like Uber, and then we think about self-driving Uber that then has a blockchain that disintermediates it being a central company and being a commonwealth resource where you having access to it doesn't decrease my access. So we're not rivalrous anymore.
I see a decision tree in which I think at a society-wide level, I can't accept any of the major branches. So one branch would be that we have a self-extinguishing human event. Then there's a different branch that says that there's some sort of a environmental collapse, maybe with a nuclear exchange or some sort of synthetic biology, who knows what. Then there's another one which says maybe we manage to trundle on for another 1,000 years somehow, limping along without any major new ideas. Then there's an escape branch where we end up on Mars, or maybe we escape even farther out in the universe, or maybe we get uploaded into Silicon. There's no part of this tree that looks sensible to me. Every single branch is somewhere in sci-fi. People refer to this world that we have now as Game A. And then there's this hypothetical Game B, which might not be rivalrous, and hopefully isn't self-extinguishing, and it might not be entirely market-based, or maybe the market's taken to better account of things like resource questions and negative externalities.
We have been employing more and more powerful technology to play rivalrous games. That means more and more potent warfare, more and more potent environmental extraction, and more and more potent information tech that can do narrative and information warfare.
I hear that voice, and then I hear this other voice, which is this optimism about maybe we could become wise. Maybe we could become the people wise enough to have synthetic biology and nuclear weapons and instant communication and data warfare and all these things and survive and thrive. And I don't see... Help me out. Where is the hope here?
Something I would say is that rivalrous game dynamics necessarily are causing some harm in the system. Either I'm harming you directly, you're harming me, or we're externalizing harm to a commons, an information or an ecological commons. One thing Game B has to do is solve multipolar traps. But we have to solve for the class of multipolar traps writ large, because it's not just we don't want an arms race on AI weapons, we also don't want an arms race on bioweapons or nanotech weapons.
I think it's well phrased. I mean, how many awesome trips to Vegas did I have? Is that the thing that's going to matter most to me on my deathbed?
Yeah, I don't think it ever has.
Did I do enough for my community? Do my children think well of me?
Well, I think what happens is people realize that everything they got dies with them.
We could potentially change what winning feels like.
Actual love for the beauty of life and the desire to have their life be meaningful to life. That my life ends, but life with a capital L doesn't end. And that life starts to be central to my awareness more than my life is. And my life becomes meaningful in its coupling to life.